Possible. You've got your sustenance for the next bit. You've got your coffee and biscuits. And I was going to say something in South African, but I don't know what to say. So, Ian, what could you say? Yes, whatever that was, that's great. Say what? I can say, I can say, sure. This is James, and he's going to talk to us about the most important thing we probably can talk about, that's forgiveness.
I go on better than that. Goeiemôre. Hey! Goeiedag, yeah. The other one is, I know what, how to say, is it profiterol, is pufferkie? And then it was a cupcake. I thought it was cupcake, but it's called vinky. So that's some getting. We've got plenty of South Africans in Pierpont with us. Guys, we're just going to pray, and then we'll get stuck in. Lord, we just so want to thank you that this is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Jesus, I just thank you for the spirit in this room and the openness and the freedom that we have and the amazing worship that we had starting into this day. And Lord Jesus, we just want to continue in the spirit of worship and looking into you, Lord. And I pray now that you will speak to hearts this morning, Lord. Hearts that are receptive and hearts that may not be so receptive. But that, Lord Jesus, you will be glorified and honored now. And we ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, it's a great privilege to be teaching. Preaching to you this morning. Funny enough, I was in South Africa back in December, beginning of Jan. I'm currently in a relationship with someone who's from Cape Town, and she's living in Wimbledon. So I came up every weekend to Everyday Church, and I was speaking to one of the church coordinators in Pierpont, and they said that they were doing a church visit to Wimbledon today. So I thought, well, I'm either going to be in the house, or I could come along and be part of this. So it's been a massive, massive privilege. As Paul has already mentioned earlier, I'm from sunny Wales. Paul, I mean, I know Paul also said that you southerners, you're trying to adapt to a northerly climate. Well, for us westerners, we're trying to adapt to an easterly climate. This is our Welsh summer, to be honest. I mean, so I'm loving this. You can see I've got my, you know, waistcoat out, and this is absolutely amazing. But I've been working with Pierpont for about 4 years, and with the marketing department. I've done the NET course. I don't know if Paul or Dan has mentioned that already. But, I'm just really excited what God is doing. So, funny enough, the last time I taught on forgiveness was in South Africa. We did a mission trip back in 2015 to Johannesburg. It was a place called Vosloorus. I'm not sure if any of you guys are familiar with that. It was an amazing privilege to do that. It was my first time to be on missions, and it was really powerful. Forgiveness. We all know it's a very, very important subject, and in Pierpont, it's almost like our cornerstone subject, because we believe that forgiveness is the key to healing and deliverance. Without forgiveness, we haven't got healing or deliverance. And we all know without the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness of Christ, there is no way that we can be saved. And growing up in a church from the age of 6, I so often take for granted what the amount that Jesus has forgiven me personally. And I think when we realize the enormity of our sin and the enormity of the sacrifice that Jesus had to pay to forgive us our sins, that really puts into perspective the amazing love that he has for us. And I know we say it and we know it in our heads, but there's almost like a lifelong journey from head to heart. And I'm really praying that the Lord would really open our hearts today when we come to really consider forgiveness. But I just want to begin by reading a quote from a pastor. I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with Jim Graham. He's gone to be with the Lord, I think it was last year. But he had a really, really good saying about forgiveness. He says, "Forgiveness releases us from our captivity to the past, restores the present, and heals us for the future." I'll say that again. Forgiveness releases us from the captivity of the past, restores the present, and heals us for the future. Now in Luke 23:34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And as I said, without that forgiveness from Christ, we cannot be forgiven. And one thing that Jesus says in his prayer when he was teaching his disciples was, "Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day." Well, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'm just going to give a short testimony about my journey of forgiveness. I grew up in Wales, as I've already mentioned. Unfortunately, my father left us when we were two. He was a pastor of the church that we were attending. And to cut a long story short, he was in adultery, and eventually my mother and my father split, and we grew up with a single parent. We saw our father every Sunday, and obviously growing up in an environment where you've only got your mother, and I mean wonderful grandparents, wonderful aunties and uncles, I thought I had a really comfortable upbringing, obviously without a father. And I'd look at my friends and I'd see them with their mother and father, and I'd always feel that sense of loss, but it wouldn't really resonate with me. But when I came to Pierpont, I realised the depth and the hurt that I was experiencing by not growing up without that father in my life. And it was funny that the fatherlessness I was experiencing was a reflection of my relationship with God, because growing up I was to put it mildly, a perfectionist. I was an artist. I loved drawing. I studied animation in university. And even though there was a culture of perfectionism in the university, I think that was ingrained in me from an early age. And no one had to tell me that. I just wanted everything to be perfect. And another issue I used to suffer from was that sense of rejection. And I think all of us, we go through our honeymoon period with God. So when you're saved for the first time, everything is new to you, and it's this amazing experience of knowing God's love, knowing God's forgiveness, and I think most of us experienced that, and I did when I got to a certain age where I was able to leave the religion of my family, and I was able to walk and make that commitment myself to Jesus. But as I was maturing with Christ, and then the more I realised this sinful nature, this nature that we all have, and it creeps up every single day, I just always felt like I wasn't good enough. And when we don't feel like we're good enough, we tend to go into religiosity. And in Wales, and I know in South Africa as well, I think there is a culture of religion. And I always felt I needed to do more to please God. And so, you know, that lack of affirmation from my father really affected my relationship with the Lord. And when I came to Pierpont, I realised that there was a lot of forgiveness that had to be done. And I realised that actually I was very bitter towards my father for not being there. Our relationship was quite estranged, if I was to be honest. He moved to America when we were 12, so that was another blow. And when I realised what had happened in my past, I think that just that instilled the bitterness I really had there. I wouldn't say that to people, but deep inside there was a passivity towards my father. And sometimes I felt the Lord saying to me this one day when I was in Pierpont, absent father equals absent emotions. Because how do you relate to a father when you haven't had that experience of a father? And so God has been taking me on a journey of restoration, but also forgiveness. Constantly forgive my father for not being there. And forgiveness is like an onion. And I know this is very frustrating for us, because we like popcorn Christianity, basically. We like everything to be sorted. There and then, done and dusted. But actually, that's not the reality of our faith in Jesus Christ. It's a journey. You know, we so often ask the Lord to give me all the answers now about my future. But actually, the Word of God says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," which means it's a step-by-step journey. And that's what forgiveness is like as well. I just want to really just briefly read a passage from Scripture. I really want to get into the Word of God. And we're all familiar with this, but I think it's just good for us to just remind ourselves. And it's found in Matthew 18. And it's the parable of the unmerciful servant. I'll read. If you want to follow in your Bibles or on your iPads or ePads or whatever, you can. So Matthew 18, verses 21, and we just finished to the, come to the end of the chapter. Then Peter called to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And then Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' But he refused. Instead, he went out and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in, and he said, 'You wicked servant, I cancelled all that the debt that you owed me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Now, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." Now, I'm just going to put this into context. And Paul, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Now, 100 denarii would say be about £5 in our currency. And I think what the first servant owed his master was a 10,000 talents. Now, I think this would have been a lifetime's worth of debt. He could never have paid it. Even in his lifetime, it would have been impossible. It would have been like he owed like £10 million. And obviously, probably on the wages that they were on, could never pay that back. And yet he refused to forgive the man who owed him maybe £10. And so it's easier said than done, forgiveness, if I'm honest. But the Lord Jesus clearly commands us to forgive. I just want to really just briefly have a look at the consequences of unforgiveness in our lives. Now, for me, it was quite a subtle journey. I realised when I came to LL that my resentment and that bitterness towards my father was quite subtle. And over that period of time, the Lord has really been bringing me on that journey. But for some of you, it may be a lot more intense than that. And so God isn't expecting some immediate effects of forgiveness. But what he's desiring is a willful heart. But the first thing is that unforgiveness... Sorry, get my notes in order there. If we do not forgive, unforgiveness will leave us in bondage. It will keep us in bondage. And that's what not forgiving is like. I like to call it the prison of unforgiveness. Now, if we remember the guy that was thrown into prison, that's what unforgiveness is. It keeps us locked up to the past, and it doesn't allow us to move on to the future. And I don't think any of us want to be in that position, but that's what it is. And in that prison of unforgiveness, and again, you guys may experience some of the symptoms of unforgiveness, but when you're in that prison of unforgiveness, you may experience the torture, the torment of the past, that bitterness. I think anger and resentment is a very clear indicator that there's probably a lot of underlying unforgiveness in your heart. Sickness can be a big part of that. Now, Paul touched on the fact that we are created body, soul, and spirit, which we call a tripartite being. And even though we are spirit, we're also soul and body. And we believe that even though unforgiveness is to do with our spirit and our emotions and holding on to those resentments, there's actually scientific proof that unforgiveness and bitterness can also cause physical ailments as well. I think arthritis can be one, IBS, which is like stomach bowel problems. I knew a woman in Wales who had a lot of forgiving to do with the doctors. Her husband was diagnosed with cancer, But unfortunately, they hadn't picked it up in time. And so he was diagnosed, and I think he had about 2 or 3 months left to live. Now, he was on fire for God, but when Ron had died, his wife, for years and years, and I don't know where she is now, but she was so bitter. And that bitterness grew in her, and you could see it on her face. And I think eventually there were physical consequences to her unforgiveness. But you could see it on her face, and I think you can pick that up with people. And like I said, that can be years and years of just holding on to the past and not releasing to God. Do you know what? It can also bring in a lot of fear and rob you of peace. Broken relationships, bitterness, as I've already mentioned, and also curses. It's words we speak out, and we believe in the power of words. And when we speak things over people through unforgiveness, through bitterness, there's a lot of power in our words. And like it says in Galatians 6:7, this is what Paul writes: "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man sows what a man reaps what he sows. And whoever sows to please their flesh," and so often unforgiveness can be a fleshly thing because we don't want to let go of the feeling of actually they deserve it. They deserve to be punished, or I want to get my own back because what they did to me. It can be a very fleshly thing. So he goes, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction." But he goes on to say, "Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." I think eventually we've spoken a bit about some of the consequences to ourselves. But also it opens a door to the enemy to come into our lives. And that is body, soul and spirit. And we've just listed a load of those things. But ultimately, it will affect our relationship with God. Because as Paul was saying, remember that illustration he was using with, you've got God here, we've got us down here, and then you had Satan in the middle. In a sense, that can be an illustration of what unforgiveness is. We can be in relationship with God, but that bitterness and that unforgiveness will get in the way of that relationship. And so how can God hear our prayers when we are harboring bitterness towards one another? And I think one of the most discomforting passages in Scripture is when Jesus says, "If you do not forgive your brothers, then your heavenly Father cannot forgive you." It's very, very powerful. But I just really want to encourage you. I know this is quite heavy stuff, but I really want to encourage you to understand, okay, even though there's consequences to unforgiveness, what does forgiveness actually look like? So we often think forgiveness is actually, say I'm saying to the person, "I forgive you, I let you off the hook, no, I'm just going to release you now, I'm going to be fine, everything is sorted out." Actually, forgiveness doesn't look like that. So I'm not going to go into the Greek terms or anything like that, but I just want to give you an illustration of forgiveness isn't you doing something, but actually handing something over to God. Now, if I say now this Bible is my bitterness and my unforgiveness, basically what you're doing is saying, "God, you know what, I can't cope with this. I don't want to hold on to this. I don't want to hold on to the person," because we often say that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping for the other person to die. That's basically what unforgiveness is like. But what we do in forgiveness is say, "God, this is what the person did. This is how I'm feeling." You've got to be open about your emotions. Be real with God. Don't be religious. Be honest with him. And say, "Lord, I'm giving this person over to you." And what happens when you give that over to the person, you're letting go. Okay, you're letting go of that unforgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean that the person or an organization or a people group. And I know in South Africa there's a lot of things going on at the moment, and you know, the past as well. There's a lot of, I would say, being out there, huge reconciliation that needs to take place. And even in this country, to be honest, being a Welshman, we can get very passionate about the rugby. I'm not going to mention last November. I'll just leave that to you guys. It doesn't often happen, I know. But there can be a lot of unforgiveness. But no, but seriously, that's what that is. And it doesn't mean the person's going to be let off the hook. Okay, that's not what forgiveness is. It's saying, "No, this is how I'm feeling. This is what the person has done." And it's releasing them into God's hands. Okay? It's releasing them into God's hands. Another thing that forgiveness is a free will choice. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I think that forgiveness can be an impossibility in our human with our human effort, our human nature, I think it can be an impossibility, because I expect some of you have gone through so many things that you're thinking, how on earth can I forgive this person, God? But the one thing that God wants is a willingness. And he says, my grace will be sufficient for you. And it is making that first step to say, Lord, I choose to forgive this person. Even though there may be a small step, you are making that step. And I believe when we make a small step, God makes a giant leap and comes alongside us and helps us in that forgiving. And I know that forgiveness, if it's been unforgiveness, if it's been allowed to be pushed down for many, many years, I like to think of it as, you know, when you've got clay and build up of clay and earth and rock, and over the years it presses down, and if you're going to churn up and dig up that soil again, it's going to take a lot of work to really crack through that, because it's just years and years of build up, and clearly we can't do that. But God is faithful. He is faithful. So it's a free will choice, okay? And I've got an African proverb, which is quite funny. Like I said, forgiveness means choosing not to remember the sin. So it's choosing to forgive, but also choosing not to remember. And again, that's something that we can't do on our own. But this is what this African proverb says. It says, once a woman has forgiven her man, she must not reheat this sin for breakfast. Which is very, very true. How many of us do that? Say, Lord, I forgive that person. And all of a sudden, you're talking about that person behind their backs. And it's like, well, you clearly haven't forgiven that person, because you're choosing to remember that. You're choosing to reenact that, if not in your heart, maybe with your mouth, maybe in your mind. But if that happens, you can always bring it back to the cross. You can always bring that back to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, I choose to re-give that to you. Think of it. Forgiveness is to give something. Forgive. Giving it back to God. Okay? And as I mentioned, forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. It's not letting the person off the hook. The wrong that has been done doesn't mean it's any less. So if you forgive the person, it doesn't mean that what they did to you makes the situation any less than it actually was. And we need to remember that God says, I am the judge. It says in Romans 12:19, leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. So you've got to allow God to be the judge. And we need to be released from that authority. It doesn't also deny the anger or the pain. That's not what forgiveness is about. I know there's what we do in Pierpont on anger days. We have a day where we teach on anger, and again, what anger is and what it isn't. And we also have the opportunity to do ministry where people can go out and just express their anger. So it could be taking an axe to a tree or punching lumps out of the punch bag. Bubble wrap is quite a popular one, isn't it? Ripping magazines, you know, just letting that anger out. And actually, anger can be another form of just something that's been buried, you know. But actually, releasing that anger is very, very important. I think we need to learn in the church what it means to release our anger in a godly way, because we know Christ was angry. But it says in the Bible, it doesn't say do not be angry, it says do not sin in your anger. And that's very, very important. So guys, if you feel like there is that resentment and that anger, just be real with God about it. And obviously doing an environment that's appropriate. But God wants to see our hearts in that. Another thing is, the other person are not indebted to us. Okay, that's another thing. The person isn't indebted to us. We mustn't expect that the person is going to constantly have to owe us. We need to release them to God, okay? And the last one, the consequences of the sin. So the consequences of the sin. We can't, as I said, downplay what had really, really happened in that. So as I mentioned, I forgive my father and the process and the journey that God has taken me on there. And usually we think of forgiveness as being something we do to other people, but as I mentioned, it can be through organisations, it can be through people groups that have affected us. And as I mentioned about that lady, she had to forgive the NHS basically for the neglect of not, you know, diagnosing the cancer any sooner. And she had a choice to either release the organization and give them back to God, or she could hold on to that resentment. And unfortunately, she actually kept the ashes of her husband in the house, and it was a sign that actually she never really let go of what happened, you know? And God doesn't want us in that prison of unforgiveness. I just want to say the process of forgiveness. Now, I mentioned that forgiveness is like an onion, and constantly God is peeling back that onion, and there will always be layers. I'm still finding out now with my father that there's other layers to be taken away. When I used to speak to my father over the phone, there was always this sense of, do I really need to do this now? I don't really want to speak to him. But over the years, and as God has really been doing that work of forgiveness in my heart, I was able to write a letter to my father to say, you know, Dad, this is how I felt, this is what happened, this is what I feel the Lord has done in my life, the journey of forgiveness. And he was a pastor of the church. And when what happened, all those about 25, 26 years ago, he had backslidden, and he's never really come back to the Lord. But I see, if I am standing and proclaiming Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, I can stand in the gap for my dad. And so releasing that letter, and this isn't in my nature, just to let you know, I'm not a kind of texty person or a letter person, but I really felt the Lord was saying, send a letter to your dad. And when I did that, he phoned me up, I think it was a couple of days later, and he said he just couldn't believe that this letter came through the post, because he was actually watching this movie where there was this father who had left his daughters and the consequences of that, and he just playing on his mind constantly, and he just felt like, I've been in a prison all this for so many years, 25 years of being in this place of regret. And I was just able to speak to him about it and say, look, you know, I forgive you, and you're still my dad, and I want to try and persevere in this relationship. And even that since then has been a process. And even he spoke to me the other day where he watches, we've got a lot of horror movies when we were kids, which I don't know, I mean, I was born in 1988, so we had, you know, access to video cameras and stuff, which is really helpful. But he said he can't watch those videos because of, I think nostalgia is a big part, but also, to be honest, I believe it's just that regret that he's had. And he's always dreamt about us going out to America to visit. And I think for the first time, I've really got a desire to go out there this year and visit him. And I could tell on the phone when I said this to him, there was a joy in his heart. And that's the ministry of reconciliation right there, is I could hold everything against my dad for what he did. But what's important for us to remember is when we know our identity in God, if you really know who you are in Christ, okay, and this is massive now, this is massive in forgiveness and all the other things that we teach in Pierpont, is when you know who you are in Christ, you're able to die to yourself and just give out to people. It's like that kind of, I am free to be who Christ has made me to be without holding on to any resentment. And actually, I think a lot of it's a pride issue as well. You can get rid of your pride in that process of knowing who you are in Christ. I think there's one thing in the Western culture we struggle with is our what's the word I'm looking for now? Our self-image, or our, yeah, all that kind of stuff. The way that we perceive ourselves to other people. When we die to self, that's what we're doing. And when we rise with Christ, as Paul mentioned, we have the liberty to release us into that place of, I just want to live for Christ. And because I know who I am, I don't have to worry about what my father will think of me if I do go through this process of reconciliation or whatever. But so forgiveness is acknowledging the sin. It's repentance for the sin. So for us, even though we need to acknowledge the sin of unforgiveness, so we need to be able to repent of holding on to that bitterness. And even though we may be in a state of unforgiveness, Christ is promised to forgive us of that sin. And also receiving that forgiveness. Do you know what? There's one person I believe that we find very difficult to forgive, and that's ourselves. And I think rejection is a massive issue in the church today. And the reason is because actually I can forgive other people. Actually, we may find forgiving other people quite easy, but forgiving ourselves is another thing. And we need to forgive other people, but also forgive ourselves for the sins that we may commit. And when we hear people say, I can't forgive myself, I can't, you know, I understand God's forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself because my sin was so bad. In that, there's a pride issue. How do we expect God to forgive us, but we can't forgive ourselves? And so that's the process that we need to go through. So, restitution and reconciliation. Now, I don't, for many of you, it may not be so easy. With my father, I really felt the Lord wants to heal and mend that relationship. But for many of us, maybe reconciliation isn't on the cards. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to be reconciled to the person. And I think that's really important for us to remember. And it doesn't mean that because you don't reconcile to them, that reconciliation may never come in the future. And even though you have forgiven the person, doesn't mean you have to trust them again. If I had children and I leave them with a particular person, then I find out later on that bad things happened with that person who were looking after my kids, sexual issues, whatever, be between the lines. Now, I am expected to forgive the person eventually through God's grace, but it would be very foolish for me to say, right, okay, I trust you again to be with my children. And actually, that's what forgiveness isn't, is trusting the person in the same way. Now, that level of trust may come about in due time again. I think if as a church family and there's people we need to forgive, I think that's what God wants, that's his heart for us, is to be able to trust, but actually, it doesn't always mean that. And so also reconciliation, and as I said, the process of forgiveness is a journey. It's a journey of healing. And I think that in the countries that we are from, and especially South Africa, it's been a journey, isn't it? It's been a journey of actually healing in society. And I think that doesn't happen overnight. And if we think of our sanctification, the process of us being, as Paul mentioned, we're justified, just as if I've never sinned, the next process is that process of sanctification, okay, that journey that God's got us on. And that's what forgiveness is like. Guys, I just really want to encourage you now. Before we're going to go into a time of ministry, I hope I haven't been able to cover everything because of time constraints, but I want to lead us through a prayer that we can, if you feel like you can, we will follow through with it. And after this, we're going to be dotted around the room, and if you want to receive ministry, if you want to open up to our prayer ministers, then we are going to be available for you. If you've got like those burning questions, or if you feel like there is this person or these people that I really, really need to forgive and release back to God. So I'm just going to get the prayer up. I just read through it first, and then if I can ask you guys to stand, and then in the gaps to put the name of that person. So I'm just going to read through this quickly. It says, Heavenly Father, I confess to you my sins of, confess that sin, the relevant sin. And it says, Father, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. And then the next one, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying that I may be forgiven. And I now choose to forgive from my heart and release from my judgment all those who have hurt me or offended me. And then you can speak that name out. Father God, I ask for your forgiveness for the times I have blamed you for things that have happened in my life. So sometimes we need to forgive God. And this was wrong, and I'm sorry. And Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I choose now to forgive myself from anything that I have blamed on myself. And please help me to come into the release and freedom you have for me. Amen. So guys, we're just going to go to the beginning. So if you want to say this prayer together, we can. So, Heavenly Father, I confess to you my sin of... Father, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. Lord Jesus, Thank you for dying that I might be forgiven. I now choose to forgive from my heart and release from my judgment all those who have hurt me or offended me. Speak that out. Speak those names out. Father God, I ask you forgiveness for the times I have blamed you for the things that have happened in my life. This was wrong, and I am sorry. Lord Jesus, I choose now to forgive myself for anything that I have blamed on myself. Please help me to come into the release and freedom you have for me. Lord, I just want to ask you now that in this time, in this moment, you know the hearts of your sons and daughters. And I ask you that, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy, you would come into that place. If there's unforgiveness, Lord, if there's bitterness, if there's anything that we are holding on to, that we feel like we can't release to you. By your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd come in now and allow us and help us to give these things over to you. And that God, during this ministry time, that, Lord, you will do some amazing works, that you'll bring the healing and restoration to us as individuals, and also in the freedom of walking out and being sons and daughters of God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you'd like to take a seat, if you would like ministry for forgiveness, then if I'll be directing traffic... And so if you would like to put your hand up and then I'll bring a ministry person to you. We might try and move around the room where we can, or you can just move chairs to wherever you can. So we've got, if our ministry team could stand up for me, that'd be wonderful. And so if you would like ministry, then pop your hand up and I'll direct someone to come to you. Okay. Stuart, would you like to go there? James, would you like to come to this gentleman? Sue, would you like to come here? And Sally, would you like to come to this lady in the white shirt? Okay. Paul? Yeah. Linda, would you like to come to Laura? Lana, would you like to go to the lady up the back? And we'll just... Ian, would you like to go to this gentleman here? Anybody else? Okay. I'll wait for a gentleman to come. And is that okay? Yeah, good. Anybody? Any other lady? You've got two men. That's really good. Yes. Any other ladies? And I'll get someone to minister to you.